In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom and Eleanor today. I want to speak a little bit about Pentecost. We are living in the day of Pentecost. Pentecost is experiencing the gift of the Holy Spirit until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in glory. Everything done in the church is done in the power of the Spirit. No Holy Spirit, no church. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Jesus said, John baptized with water, in several days you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Oh, how we need that baptism of the Spirit. How we need that God would open our hearts up and fill us with the Holy Spirit. The Word of God says they were together in one accord with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. That's when the Spirit came. There was one heart, one place, and one experience. And he came with a rushing mighty wind. Oh, yes. A rushing mighty wind with flames of fire that was on the heads of each of the people there. There were 120 people there, the Scripture says. So, without the Spirit, we don't have very much. Without the Holy Spirit, we can't do very much. Now, they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Cappadocia, Phrygia, and Rome, and some Arabs. Why were these people there? They were there because they were celebrating the law, L-A-W. Moses gave the law. But what happens now? We don't celebrate the 216 precepts of the law. We celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit, who makes present the church, who wants to come in power to be our advocate and our guide. Jesus says, it's better for you. It's better for you that I go away. If I do not go away, I will not send the Holy Spirit. It's better for you that I go away. If I do not go away, I will not send the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. We need that He would come upon us and that He would drench us with the glory of God, with the rains of God. You know, Jesus said, "Let the person who thirsts come to me, and out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." He was speaking of the Holy Spirit that had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. Are you thirsty today? Are you thirsty today? Let the person who thirsts come to me. Out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. I said to yesterday at Mass, anybody thirsty, come up here. We're going to pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And many people came up and we prayed and sang in tongues and sang Alleluia, and God was so present. We need the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, you want to know what the church needs more than anything? The gift of the Holy Spirit. And people don't even know who the Holy Spirit is. Even as we pray, you know, we pray the Gloria with the Holy Spirit at the end. We just tag him on. He's not very important. But you see, if you're into the Holy Spirit, you're into Christ. Because Jesus is the one the Holy Spirit makes real to you. Jesus becomes your contemporary by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that today? Is Jesus real today to you? Then you have the Holy Spirit. Is Jesus your contemporary, your friend, your lover, your Savior, your Lord? If He does, if He is, then you have the Holy Spirit. But that Spirit wants to be released. We remember the Gospel yesterday. Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive shall be forgiven. Whose sins you retain shall be retained." So what does that mean? Did they receive the Holy Spirit when He breathed on them? They did. But what happened on Pentecost? That Holy Spirit that was in their heart became a gusher. Became a gusher. It came out with the power of love, with the power of God, with the power of mercy. And I'm going to tell you, If you want to talk about Pentecost, there's a cost in Pentecost. Pentecost. I tell you, what began to happen in Jerusalem was that these people, Peter and John, who raised up the guy that was crippled, they were brought before the Sanhedrin because they were filled with the Holy Spirit and that they did it in the name of Jesus Christ. And then they were rebuked, and they came back in the fourth chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, and they said, "We've been rebuked. Let your spirit come in great power and great witness and great glory." And the place shook there. And you know why it shook? Because the Holy Spirit came upon them. Then we see, who do we see next? Stephen being killed in the name of Jesus. He is filled with the Holy Spirit. He says, "I see the Son of God at the right hand of the Father." I'm telling you, the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit. The deacons were filled with the Holy Spirit. The people were filled with the Holy Spirit. We received the Holy Spirit at baptism and confirmation. But what has happened to us? He's plugged up. We need that Holy Spirit to come out, and we need to pray for a thirst, that we would receive the thirst of God, and that the Spirit that was within us would become a mighty rushing wind, would become a mighty rushing fire, would become the glory of God.
Well, Father, rise and shine. The glory of God is upon you. Father, you just become so alive when you're talking about the Holy Spirit. And because when I first came in this morning, you were more quiet, but now I can feel that you have the power and the fire, and it's contagious. So I think I just caught it too. But all the things you said were so sweet and special and true. And it's interesting because you wonder, we did receive the Holy Spirit at baptism and, as you say, confirmation, but then it seems to remain dormant. That we have the Holy Spirit, but we don't have that fire. Just like you were speaking, your voice became different. We don't have that fire, or we don't know that power. We don't really know the Holy Spirit. And I don't know why that is, actually. Well, I never knew the Holy Spirit myself. I never did until I had that, as everybody remembers, that dramatic touch of the Holy Spirit 18 years ago. And my anniversary is coming up, Father. My birthday is coming up in June, the birth of when I became a new creation. But I don't know how to explain that happened to me. It can happen to anyone. I think God has a timing for when he's going to just have that powerful St. Paul dramatic touch of the Holy Spirit, just like it happened back in that upper room 2,000 years ago. And then you're right, like when we say the name, when we bless ourselves in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit just gets short end of the straw. But and it's not right that that should happen. And so to speak about him like you are today, the Holy Spirit, I remember what St. Augustine said, the Father loves the Son so much, and the Son loves the Father so much. They're like twined into one another. So their love, their immense, beautiful, awesome love is poured out by through the Holy Spirit. So it's the Father and the Son coming to you through the power of the Holy Spirit. So that is, when you think of what he said, I mean, it's an amazing way to think about that. And then it brings in the Father and the Son. It brings in Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is the church. Without the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't have. It's just amazing that. So to talk about it, Father, I think is so imperative. So I'm glad that you're doing that. But every day should be Pentecost. Every day should be speaking to the Holy Spirit. Remember the different titles that the Holy Spirit has. He's our advocate. He's our defense attorney. He's standing by you. He will be your comforter. He will console you. He will direct you. He will love you. He will show you. He will show you the truth. He does everything. And remember, he does that that from the Father and the Son, who pour out their love into the whole, makes the Holy Spirit then comes to us. So when you think about it, it's actually a beautiful love affair, and it's sweet. But it's also powerful, and what I'd like to think of, you're right, Father, we want a deeper breath, but a waterfall, just picture like a waterfall, like Niagara Falls, like just picture now, just ask for the Holy Spirit just to fall down you like a waterfall, to just take every part of your body, the beautiful Holy Spirit that just fall upon you and bless you and direct you and love you and grace you and mercy you, and then trust, you have to trust that He will do all of that. You trust that Jesus said, I will send the Holy Spirit to be with you, to be your advocate. That wasn't just like, well, maybe I'll send him and maybe next week and then maybe I'll send him to some people and I won't send him to everybody. Jesus made a promise, a covenant. And when Jesus doesn't lie, He tells you the truth. I will send an advocate that will be with you 24 hours a day. And so we have to believe that. Jesus loves trust. He loves us to trust that covenant promise. So let's rededicate ourselves to knowing that we do have the Holy Spirit through baptism and confirmation. But then let us know that the Holy Spirit is falling upon us now like a waterfall. It's going to just take over every part of our body. It's just coming now, and it's happening, and we're just thankful, and we trust that this is happening. He will always be with us. Anytime you need direction of a new job, you don't know what to do, you don't know if you want to marry this particular person, you just go to the Holy Spirit. He's waiting. You know what? The Holy Spirit is very gentle, actually. He invites us to come, but he's not pushy. He's very gentle. Even though he came that night and it's a strong wind, but basically, He's a very gentle Holy Spirit. He nudges us to do things that are good. He nudges us. And so He's also there to give direction. Like you call on Him, you say, Holy Spirit, I don't know what to do. I don't know what road my life should take. I don't know whether I should go into the priesthood or I should take this job or I should get married. You go to the Holy Spirit. He's waiting. He's waiting. Now remember, the Holy Spirit is the love between the Father and the Son poured out. So He's waiting for you to come and say, well, what should I do? Can you give me some help here? Will you give me some help? I trust you will give me some help. I'm trusting you. I'm coming to you expecting. I'm not saying, well, maybe you'll direct me. I'm expecting that you'll direct me. So you say, I know you will direct me. I know you will love me. I know you will show me the truth. Just so go that way. And you'll see. And it doesn't take long. The Holy Spirit comes. He says, oh, I'm so glad I'm welcomed. He wants to be welcomed, and when He's welcomed, He will come like just like a fire in your heart and a power in your heart, and it's a good power. It's not a power to be proud of. It's a power to act on, to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, and then you won't be able to catch your breath. Once you welcome that Holy Spirit into your life, you will not be able to catch your breath. He will take you on an adventure that you cannot believe, and you'll love every minute of it. And so, so that's what I'm thinking. The invitation today is go to the Holy Spirit. Whatever's on your mind right now, illness, Holy Spirit, take me away from this illness. Take me into health. Show me the right doctors. I trust that you will. I know that you will. Thank you. Thank you for doing that for me. So once we get into the habit of doing that, then it becomes a way of life. It becomes like breathing. You just do it. You don't even know you're doing it half the time because it becomes who you are. And then your whole life changes. Everything is beautiful. And even if it's not beautiful, things are upside down because the Holy Spirit is leading you and guiding you and loving you. Somehow it becomes tolerable. Somehow you can get through it, even the worst of things. So that's what I'm thinking today, Father.
Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and throughout all the ends of the earth. power. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't need another meeting in the church. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. The church is only a reality because the Holy Spirit makes the church, forms the church. The scripture says the Spirit and the bride, the church, say, come. Come, Lord Jesus, in glory. Come, Lord Jesus, we need you. I'm telling you today that that Holy Spirit is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. It is better for you that I go away. If I do not go away, I will not send the Holy Spirit. We hear Augustine saying, the love between the Father and the Son, that's from all eternity. That didn't just happen. That was from all eternity. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of love. But not only the Spirit of love, the Spirit of witness, the Spirit of martyrs. The color that we wear at Mass for Pentecost is red, and it brought martyrdom to the apostles. They went from Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria to all the ends of the earth. You know what? If the Spirit of God didn't come to them, they would have died in that upper room, waiting. The doors were locked for fear of the Jews. But when the Spirit of God came, what happened? The doors were flung open. And Peter said, this Jesus whom you crucified, God has raised up to be both Lord and Messiah. This was done in the power of the Holy Spirit. Peter said, I'm preaching like with fire, because that's what happened. They had cloven fire on their heads. I wonder if we ever had cloven fire on our heads, what would we do? Would we call 911 to put it out? We need that fire. Always that fire leads you in the church to Jesus Christ. Always that fire leads you to know, love, and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit makes Jesus our contemporary, makes Jesus our Lord, makes Jesus our Savior, makes Jesus everything. As a matter of fact, in the church, if there was no Holy Spirit, there'd be no confession. Because the sins are forgiven through the power of the Holy Spirit. If there was no Holy Spirit, there'd be no Eucharist, because the priest calls down the Holy Spirit to come upon this bread and this wine, that it would become the body and blood of Christ. Without the Holy Spirit, the Bible would be black words on white paper. Nothing. It wouldn't be anything. We are in need of the Holy Spirit. I am in need of the Holy Spirit. I thank God in 1968 that Holy Spirit came to me. I thank God because I was thirsty and I was doubtful, and God came with power. I never knew power. I never knew glory until that day in 1968 in August, the last Sunday of the week of the month. And I experienced that power. I experienced that, and it was powerful. And you know what? He still works powerfully, even when I feel as weak as a kitten.
Yes, he does, Father. He works beautifully through you. The other thing, like you're mentioning, the persecution. Now, the Holy Spirit will come, but he will call on you to do things that are a little bit difficult. I mean, a lot difficult. But they're good things, and they're things that have to be done. And so the Holy Spirit will go with you, and he will show you, but he'll give you that courage. And even if you're persecuted, we're not going to get persecuted like the apostles did. I hope not, Father. But we're still persecuted. Our family members won't talk to us because they don't understand what we're trying to convey. Different ways you can be persecuted. And the thing is, but that's okay, because you've been chosen to speak the truth. And it's so important, because actually we're commissioned to do that. I think one of the other Gospels last week, Father, was I think it was last week, about I declare to you the Holy Spirit will declare to you what you're supposed to do. And you think, well, isn't that nice that he's going to do that? But then there's an awesome responsibility. You have to testify. And that was in that particular gospel. So you have to testify. Not, some people say, I can't speak. I don't know what to say. But you know that expression, actions speak louder than words. So the Holy Spirit will lead you to act in a certain way. And he will be there, though. He will direct your paths. He will, and if necessary, he will give you the words. So that's where it's all not like you step out of your comfort zone when the Holy Spirit comes. But what a beautiful thing to step out of your comfort zone for our God, for the Lord Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's beautiful. It takes your breath away. You're on a new adventure. You have power. You have fire. But you're called upon to do things other people won't do. And maybe, you know, when I think about it, Father, maybe people are afraid to ask for the Holy Spirit because they're thinking, oh, maybe if I ask for the Holy Spirit, I'll have to do what Ellen is saying, get out of my comfort zone and do something. But that's a foolish way to, that's a foolish way to think. So I'm inviting everybody, forget that part of it. When you call on the Holy Spirit, he will come, but he will take care of you. He will protect you. He will show you the way. He will be there with you, and there's nothing to be afraid of. You will be, it's an awesome responsibility, and you go forward and testify and give people the good news, not necessarily with words, but through actions.
You see, to come out of your comfort zone, people know subconsciously that the Holy Spirit will do that. And they want to be in control. Everybody wants to be in control. And you want to know what happens in the church when we're in control? Nothing. The same thing that happened last year happens this year. Nothing. There should be power in God's church. There should be light in God's church. There should be fire in God's church. There should be peace in God's church. Oh yes, and that's all the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, and so on and so forth. How we need the fruit of the Spirit, how we need the power of the Spirit, how we need that God would baptize us in the Holy Spirit. How does that happen? Thirst. Let the person who thirsts come to me, for out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Do you have rivers flowing? Are rivers flowing from your heart? Are rivers flowing from your heart? I'm telling you, that's what God wants. You say, but I'm so old. Unless you're 115, you're not old. It's time to give yourself over to Jesus. It's time to give yourself over to the Lord Jesus Christ. How do I do that? You just say, Jesus, I surrender. I surrender my life to you. I surrender my life to you. Everything I am, I give to you. Everything I have, I give to you. I surrender my life to you. And you're surrendering your life to the person who had nails in his hands and nails in his feet and a spear mark in his side. He's the one that loves you. He's the one that baptizes in the Holy Spirit. People have said to me, Father, you baptized me in the Holy Spirit. I said, no, I prayed for that. But Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit. John baptized with water. In several days you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you.
Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Between July 8th and the 14th, we have the School of the Holy Spirit at Holy Rosary in Winthrop, and we need to hear from you. We have not yet paid our April bills, and I want to thank people for responding. I need people to respond in the name of Jesus, that they give us what we need, because no, I am not paid. I preach the Word of God by the grace of the living God. May Almighty God bless you today in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.